Starting chapter 18 of Igeres HaKodesh, or otherwise known as maybe Simen 18, and it's on 485, 486. This is not a charity letter. I think we've done actually charity letters. Or something sneaks in over here. I don't think there's any more charity letters.
Yeah.
So, in this letter, it seems to me as though he is writing it as to elucidate some points that he made in Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
In Tanya, in the middle 40s, he talks about love of Hashem. Love of Hashem, fear of Hashem, starting with chapter 41, it goes through 46, 47, if you like, maybe 48, depends on how you're asking, how you're looking.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of ideas that he talks about. He doesn't explain, so he leaves it here in this letter to explain it further, and that being, he talks about different levels of love.
Okay.
And basically, he said in those earlier chapters, is there's two general levels of love. There's something called the higher level of love, and the lower level of love.
Yes.
Now, in actuality, I mean, Yol Kahn, who's the Rebbe's Chozer, wrote encyclopedia entry on the word Ahava, according to Hasidus, which means love. And it came out that in Hasidus there's discussed 63 different types of love. Okay, so that he was able to glean that. How many different types of love are there? Well, according to the Magid Meshurim, which was written by the Beis Yosef, as told to him by an angel, there are 187,000 different levels of love. And each level of love has an infinite number of possibilities. So as far as one's relationship with, how to express one's relationship with to Hashem, the choices are innumerable. Okay, but generally there are two. You wonder how many you can talk about, so, but they can suppose that all the different levels can be divided into two, either a higher level of love or a lower level of love, and it's based on the liturgy set forth by the Ashkenazi Knesset Gedolim, when they said that the brachas of the Shema, that they have something called Avas Olam and Ahava Rabba. Avas Olam being the lower level of love, because it's a world love which is based on meditation and love, and a love which is developed through one's understanding. Mm-hmm. And then Ahava Rabba is the great love, which he said in a number of places is actually a gift from above. And here he refers to it as Ava B'Tainugim. So, without anything else, Pesemen Yudches, Ksiv. Based on a verse in Shir HaShirim, chapter 7, it says, Mayafis Uman Ne'imas Ava B'Tainugim. How nice and how sweet is the love of delights.
Is this tiny Hashem's tiny or the person's tiny?
Well, the pasuk over there is, I didn't actually look to see who was it. It says that Shir HaShirim is a dialogue between Makabel and a Mashpia. And I didn't look to see who was doing the talking over there. Okay. Was it the Makabel, which would be the Jewish people, or was it the Mashpia, meaning Hashem?
Hashem, right.
So Hine Beis Mini Ahava is Hain. There are two types of love. Ha'alef ha'ava b'taynugim. One of them is referred to as a love of delights. The Ha'ainish means anig al Hashem oinig niflo b'simcha rabba v'atsuma. That means that the person is delighting with Hashem with an awesome delight, with a great and awesome joy, with a simcha of the nefesh, u'kaloisa b'taymah. It's like the guy's ready to plot.
Yeah.
Okay, this we can describe as an infinite, passionate, not excuse me, an immense, passionate love affair that the person is having with Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe uses an earlier expression in Tanya, b'chashecha, b'chafetza, what's the third verse, b'chafetza, b'chafetza, with a love and a longing and a lusting.
Yeah.
Okay? Lust is pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's a strong word.
That's a strong word.
That's a strong word.
But to lust for God, that's Ava B'Tainugim. Okay? So that, he calls it also a love like a thirst. Because, you know, if it's a hot day outside and you're outside and you're working and you suddenly grab a cold glass or whatever and you knock it back, so you feel the thirst that you have.
Yeah.
Okay? So it says that type of a thirst is the higher level of love for Hashem.
The higher level.
Ki tov Hashem, because Hashem is good. V'noyim ne'imas arivos ad lahafli olam haba. And the sweetness is a sweetness which is beyond comparison and similar to the world to come. Meaning to say that it is possible. What is olam haba, which we talked about last week, that olam haba is referring to Gan Eden, when the neshama has left the body after 120 years and is sitting around waiting for Mashiach to come. That's olam haba. And there, what is the neshama doing? Is nene meziva shchina, which is back in chapter 4. And that this deriving pleasure from this effulgence of godliness is based on the person's accomplishments in this world. Why it is that we do mitzvahs in this world is, or not why it is we do, but the fact that we do mitzvahs in this world causes the neshama to benefit in Gan Eden while it's waiting for Mashiach to come, so that we can get on with our lives and get to the real stuff. So now that feeling of immense benefit, that's like taking a very extreme word and putting it, a very extreme adjective and putting it next to a very milquetoast noun, extreme benefit. Yes. Yeah. That's like saying radical moderate. Anyway, yes. So.
Conservative liberal.
Yeah, no, it's an oxymoron. But yeah, extreme moderate. You know, it's just like, hello.
Yeah.
The so, but
let's not go there.
So the person, it is possible to experience this now. Why do you have to wait until 120? So it is possible for a person to experience this relationship with Hashem now. What's the difference between now and Olam Haba? That in Olam Haba you get to enjoy it, but here normally you don't. Well, there happens to be something called the limitations of our body. And the limitations of our body are not allowing us to feel, see, be a participant in this godliness that we cause to be brought into this creation by our mitzvahs. And therefore we don't see them. But when we divest ourselves of our body after 120 years, so now there is no hindrance or encumbrance to see what it is that we're actually able to accomplish. And that gives us a tremendous sense of joy, satisfaction, and delight. So what the Alter Rebbe wants to maintain, that it is possible that if a person works on themselves such that they purify their bodies,
hence Moshe, blah, blah, blah.
Like Moshe, etc., and Eliyahu, etc.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So then, yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, nah, but you know.
No, so it is
possible. Idea.
Listen, he's talking about it, you know, so, but he's going to say, listen, you're not going to get there from here. It's all a gift from above.
Yeah.
So that person, yeah, the initial effort is always on us.
Yeah.
There's always the Isarusa de la Tata is Gurum the Isarusa de la Ela. The arousal from below causes the arousal from above.
Yeah.
That means if the person is going to put forth the effort of trying to focus all of their attention, even better than all of their pursuit of happiness. Mm. What is it that motivates us? Is we want to be happy.
Sure.
It's the whole reason why you do anything, is for the achievement of your happiness.
Yeah.
Okay?
Which is a positive thing.
I suppose. The reason why you get up in the morning, for the most part, is to go to the bathroom. And going to the bathroom makes you feel better. So that way, at least you're out of bed now. Okay? So it's just, the general rule is, no one will do anything unless the benefit of doing something outweighs the benefit of doing nothing.
Nothing. Yes, that's true.
Because if I'm perfectly happy doing nothing, what do I have to do something for? I'm fine right now. As I told the story last week, when you said, I'm happy right now. Right. I remember the story, yeah. So, for those who are listening in, just listen to last week's class. That would be 17.2. All right, so if a person can work on themselves such that every move that they make is solely for the purpose of serving Hashem and making a dira b'tachtonim. We're talking every single move. Okay, that means that the person is in complete control of their machshava dibur
o'maisa. Right,
So now it's possible, since a person is in control of their machshava dibur o'maisa, which we call a person, we call them a beinoni. So it is possible then, as he said in chapter 14, that maybe Hashem will cut him some slack and he'll be able to step it up a notch. Look at the, maybe the level of tzaddik v'ralo, something like that. But that, it doesn't have to, you don't have to wait to be in complete control of your persona to start working on the next part. Because what's the difference between a tzaddik and a beinoni is, it says back in chapter 10, as a tzaddik hates evil and a beinoni doesn't.
Right.
So a person can start working, as he says, he mentioned in chapter 14, a person could start working, even if they're not a tzaddik, on hating things which are evil, hating things which are in opposition to Hashem's will.
Yeah.
He gives a couple of examples in chapter 14. He says, if a person thinks that every tainug gashmi will end up as dung, worm, and maggots.
Yeah.
So that kind of takes the joy out of that ice cream cone. You know, that's provided that you actually believe it. That's another thing. It's one thing to say it. As you're scarfing it down.
Yes.
And it's another thing to actually believe it, which would then say, well, I don't need to scarf this down.
Yeah.
Okay. So if a person then, but it doesn't have to be, it's not an all or nothing situation at this point.
No.
Because we know that a tzaddik v'ra lo is called a tzaddik v'ra lo is because he doesn't completely hate something. That means he hates it a little bit. Okay? And depending on how much he hates it or how much he loves Hashem is the relationship they're in. And so therefore, it is possible for Joe Average, us, to start to learn to talk ourselves into
work at.
Yeah. To start working at hating evil.
Yeah.
Hating things which are in opposition
to Hashem.
To Hashem.
Yes.
Okay. Now, one of the things I see very easy by Baal Tshuvas, for example, is the smell of bacon.
Yeah.
Okay. People who were not frum, they had ate bacon.
Yeah.
For the most part that I've come across, I've done a census, when it comes to the smell of bacon, are absolutely and totally and completely nauseated by it. What did they do that caused them to feel that way?
Nothing.
Not a whole lot. It's just that they've gotten away from it and understand that eating it is not the right thing to do.
Correct.
And such that even the smell of it is nauseating.
Yeah.
Okay, does that make the person a tzaddik? Halavai should be so easy.
Yeah.
But what that does tell us is that we do have the ability of hating evil. Now, if we have the ability to hate evil, the inverse to that, as it's talked about in chapter 14, is loving Hashem.
Yeah.
So why is it, in other words, you can't hate evil unless you love Hashem. So here it is, we see this person who stopped liking the smell of bacon, who finds the smell of bacon repulsive, we must conclude therein that they must love Hashem a little bit.
Yep.
There must be some true love of Hashem there.
Right.
Because otherwise, the smell of bacon wouldn't be offensive.
Now, is that above and beyond the natural love? Or is that just an expression of the natural love?
I don't know where to put the label on it generally.
Okay.
But natural love means that if a person is totally, completely not in the program, and someone comes to him and says, bow down to this idol or I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
The person will say, shoot me.
Right.
That's natural love.
Yeah.
So this is because the person doesn't even know where that came from.
Okay.
this, when I smell bacon and my stomach turns, I know it's because that's bacon, and I'm finding now bacon repulsive.
Right.
So that's not natural. That's worked on.
Okay. So that's, this is above and beyond the natural.
Yeah, that would be above it. That would be above it. You know, a person, listen, we shouldn't sell ourselves short that we are indeed accomplishing things. I mean, the general motive, when you're in yeshiva, they tell you you're a nothing, you're never going to be anything more than a nothing. Okay, and as much as you're working, but it's not, it's that's for yeshiva bachur.
Yeah, that's
okay. But when we're out in the world and we're trying and we're doing, so listen, we are accomplishing. And we shouldn't always try kicking ourselves that we're not doing more. We should stop, so the Rebbe used to say, stop and analyze and do a cheshbon tzedek. A cheshbon tzedek
honest,
means
honest.
That, honest. Yeah, I'm able to
do
this.
In every capacity, honest.
I am doing this right.
Doing this.
And there's nothing wrong with realizing that you're doing something right. You shouldn't rely on your laurels, rest on your laurels, and pat yourself on the back. The fact that you're doing something right, then Shammai says, because
then you just shot it.
Yeah, well, that's true too. The Shammai says, well, that's why you were created. So, you know, you're doing.
Have a good day. You know, get on.
You know,
it.
Hello.
So, put your foot in front of the other one.
So, yeah, exactly. Okay, so it is possible for if a person.
Yeah.
So therefore, this person doesn't like the smell of bacon. So somewhere out there. There's a joy that this person has, a love that this person has in the performance of doing some mitzvah, the learning of something that's going to give him some kind of geschmack, which is inversely related to how much he hates the smell of bacon. Huh. That's what we're told in chapter 14, that they're inversely related. So if this person in some way is repulsed by evil, so he's got to have some kind of main olam haba now. And you know what? So go work on it some more. Make it bigger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make the inverse a bigger inverse.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mamer shenenen kula v'alzek siv simchu tzadikim b'Hashem. To actually experience this type of love that he's talking about, so he says it's tzadikim get to delight in Hashem. It's not expected of us to do it. Even after the last 10 minutes that I said, well, you could do a little bit of it, you know. But he's saying that it's our job is not to hate evil.
Right.
The job of the Beinoni is to squash evil. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with hating it while you're squashing it. Yeah. You don't have to say, I really wish I could eat that, but too bad it's treif, and therefore I'm not going to. You can really say that really is something as a dover moas, and I'm glad I don't have to eat it.
Right.
And that doesn't take tremendous working on an individual.
Yeah.
It happened, you know, I don't like talking about myself. Actually, I love talking about myself. But anyway, I'm joking.
About which one?
When the internet first happened, it became like a public thing. So if you wanted to do research on these little listserv things or whatever they were called, there was this access service called Prodigy. It was like,
oh, I remember Prodigy.
It was like AOL. AOL like and Prodigy were like vying for each other.
Yes.
It was all in DOS.
Right.
And if you were doing research, they actually charged you $1 a page for the research.
Right? Yeah?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now, however, if you had access to a university library computer, so then it didn't cost anything because they provided that service free for research.
Yes.
So it just so happened that I needed to do some research for something that I was working on at the time and had somebody who got me a library card from Wayne State.
Uh-huh.
So I walked in and I signed in up on the computer. And you know what working on a computer's like. I got there at 10 o'clock, and I'm busy working. And for I look up, I see it's 5 to 5.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, where'd that go? You know, computers have always been a time sucker.
Yes, they are.
Because you sit down and you say, I'm just going to check my email. Meantime, two hours went by.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So now, if you've ever been to Wayne State, so the undergraduate library is located just downwind of the Student Union Building, which is where they have the cafeteria and all the fast food joints.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the south side of the Student Center, which is the north side of the library, which is where the steps are, coming out of the library, vented towards the library. So that when you're walking out of the library, what you get accosted with is the smell of cooking food.
Yes, indeed.
Which if somebody like me, for example, that I've been in this library since 10 o'clock, I haven't eaten since 8:30 in the morning, it's now 5 o'clock, and so now this food smell is being vented at me.
Right.
Okay, and my first thought was, Baruch Hashem, I keep kosher, because otherwise I would be really tempted to eat that garbage that they are serving in those fast food restaurants.
Right.
Okay, so so that's not a gift. I don't know where that came from. I mean, you know, so you don't have to be anybody special to think like that. You just got to know that eating in those type of restaurants isn't the best thing for you.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
So,
right.
But anyway.
Right.
Not everybody gets to be a tzaddik. This is described in the Zohar as the Kohen, the priest, the servant from the depth of the heart. Kodesh, this is in the Zohar. As it says there, in the, there's a verse that the service, avodas matana, as the service of a present, I will give your kohanim. There's a pasuk. I don't know exactly where the pasuk is. Meaning that for those people who are really servants of Hashem, so Hashem gives them presents.
That's it.
Okay, we see, for example, by Matan Torah. What happened by Matan Torah? Moshe went up the mountain on the second day. He comes down and says, "Vatem to you, goy kodesh v'malachos kehanim. You are a holy nation and a nation of priests." Meaning that you all have to do.
Right.
So then what happened 3 days later is they had Matan Torah. They're flying out of their bodies.
Yeah.
Wow. What the connection is, that because they were put on the level of Kohanim, meaning Masharis LaKadosh Baruch Hu, servants to Hashem, on the level of Kohen, of priest.
Right.
Priest is not just the guy who washes the floor, even though in the Beis HaMikdash,
yeah,
it was the Kohanim who washed the floor.
Right.
And it was a mitzvah. That's how they got him to wash it. You know,
right.
You want anybody to do a menial task, just tell them it's a mitzvah. And it gets,
yeah,
you know,
they had
a goral. Who gets to wash the floor?
Right.
You know, we're going to have you washed it yesterday. It's my turn.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, but so that because we were all elevated on the second day of Sivan to the level, the rank of being a mashoris to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be a servant to Hashem. Therefore, when it came 3 days later, so now Hashem gives us a present. Since you're on this madrega, you're on this level, so now I'm going to give you the Torah. Full jets. And so that your Hashem must fly right out of your body. Klois and Nefesh Mamas, like you said before.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
It doesn't get any more than that. Why did their souls fly out of their body? Is because of the immense rapture, the love that they had when they were exposed to this amount of Elokus.
Right. They couldn't
to such an extent
they wanted to be totally connected.
No other desire at all than to be totally
connected, completely united
with Hashem.
Right.
As he said before, and Tanya uses the expression an ultimate unity. Mm. What does it mean, an ultimate unity?
There's no difference.
An ultimate unity doesn't mean that I'm a little bit, you're a little bit, stuck together. Unity means there's only one thing there.
Correct.
Okay, that's really what our neshama wants.
Mm.
That's what our neshama is fighting for now, is to be able to achieve that unification with Hashem.
Mm.
And so the Alter Rebbe says, yeah, you could get it if you're good, but Hashem's got to give it to you. You got to be a really good boy.
You got to be really good, yeah.
The Hazar Hikriv, but if what happens is what happens a stranger, a non-Kohen, does an Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, what happens to him? Do you know what happens to such a person?
He gets killed, yeah, he dies.
Right, you have no business being here. We're going to off with your head, right,
yeah.
Exactly. Okay, there's no Tainugim there. Dying is not fun.
Yeah, oops.
Ki ein derech lahasigu al yedei yegiyas basar kamei hayira. It really isn't possible to achieve this level of love by working on yourself only. You have to work on yourself to make yourself a Kaylee. But he says, really, the way that you work on yourself is through fear of Hashem. Shashayelam aleha yegaita biyira. Okay, it says like to work on fear, that it says about it, that they question it. Did you work on yourself with fear? Vazai lebaser shaloi nisyageya biyira. It says, excuse me, oi. Woe to the flesh that did not work on itself with fear. Mm. There's also a pesukim. So that the tool that is really going to get us in the groove is not the love. Okay? It's the love of, it's the fear of Hashem. Which the fear of Hashem is going to cause us to keep our acts together. Mm. If it's, he talks about this in where does it talk about the note with the chapter 40, where he has the if you have love without fear, so what do you have? You got a bird with one wing. Mm. It tries to fly up and crash lands.
Right.
Flies around in a circle a little bit and falls down. So that if we're starting with the beginning point is fear, because if a person has just love of Hashem, so then they'll do anything wrong. They'll fall away and get involved with all the whatever. Why? Because Hashem loves me, and Hashem will still love me even though I.
Yeah.
But from fear, you don't get that. From fear, which is the fear we're talking about, is the respect and reverence and awe.
Right.
Even in the lower levels of fear, because we know that the key to starting is the lower level of. This one, and this time, it depends on how you ask me. Sometimes it's love, fear, fear, love. Sometimes it's fear, love, love. Fear. Mm. Okay? To come to the higher level of fear. Here, we'll see how he goes with this, because this looks like it might be fear, love, fear, love.
Yeah.
Which would be unusual. But it's the idea that you start out slow when you work up.
Yeah.
Okay? So, now, but he's still talking about the higher level of love.
Mm.
And in order to come to the higher level of love, a person has to work on themselves out of a sense of awe and respect. When it comes to, as if we're talking about purifying a person's body, how is a person purifying their body? I'm not engaged in the pursuit of pleasure. As soon as you say I'm not,
you are.
No. As soon as you say I'm not, that's already an expression of fear. As soon as you say I'm not, I don't need to eat that.
That is not an expression of love of Hashem.
Okay. That's an expression of fear, awe, respect, and reverence.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
I'm going to live without that. I'm denying that. Iskafia is an expression of a person's yiras Hashem. Uh-huh. More so than the love of Hashem. Okay, because the love of Hashem is propelling that person, I'm going to go daven, I'm going to go learn, I'm going to go do a mitzvah. That's where the love of Hashem is propelling the person. The love of Hashem is not propelling the person not to go eat ice cream. That's the fear of Hashem. Mm-hmm. So he's starting out with that. He says, and that's what purifies the body more. You have tefillin on a whole day. Yeah. Okay, good. He says, you know the story with Levi Yitzchak Avraham, that he needed to get someplace. He told his balagola, his wagon driver, I need to get someplace early in the morning. So if you don't mind, could we get on the road early? Okay, so the balagola is—he knows the Rebbe's got to get to early. So while he's standing out of his talus and tefillin, so he's got a big bucket of axle grease. He's got his hand in the bucket and he's putting the axle grease on the axle, and he's still davening. He knows davening by heart.
Right.
And the Levi just saw him and said, "Look, Rabbeinu Shalaylu, they wear tefillin even when they grease their axles." Hmm. You know, so that's an expression of love of Hashem.
Mm.
Okay, I know I have to daven, so therefore I'm going to daven, but I have to grease the axles too. So okay, we'll grease the axles, but that's love of Hashem. Mm. That's how a person can get into such a situation as that. That we say, look at it, we applaud the punchline of the story is that Levi Yitzchak Bardichev was able to turn it around into such a positive
into
thing.
Into a positive thing, right?
That,
right.
You know, but that's a kunz already.
Right, right, right.
He had to like, you know, devise, you know, with the shaking of the thumb,
right,
to turn that negative instance of wearing tefillin while greasing the axles into greasing the axles while wearing tefillin.
Right.
So, as an expression of love. So, but no, that doesn't purify the body. A person, that person who was greasing the wheels with his tallis and tefillin on,
right.
His body, unfortunately, was not getting purified. Not right. That I'm paskening Hashem, you know, I'm not, no retroactive decisions back to 250 years ago.
That's right.
So, the, so, the withholding of the physical pursuits is an expression of, I don't need to do this because I really want to get closer to Hashem. So I'm not doing it because doing it is going to ruin my relationship with Hashem. That's called fear of Hashem. That's what our fear of Hashem is. I'm not doing this because it will ruin my relationship with Hashem. I'm afraid of the disconnect that it might cause.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're talking here, we're not talking about eating bacon now at this point.
No.
We're talking about, like it says in today's Hayyim Yaim.
Permissible things.
Yeah, we're talking about in this Hayyim Yaim. Today's Hayyim Yaim, it says, that you should and you shouldn't. What you could, you don't have to. Okay, so that's what Iskafia is. As an expression of fear of Hashem. Kamosha Kasav Reishis Chachma. As is described in Reishis Chachma, written by Rav Moshe Cordovero, Uksiv Beyira Im Tevakshena Kesef. It says, with fear, if you will search for it like silver.
Mm-hmm.
What do people do to make a living? How much effort does a person... That's what that pasuk is taking.
Sure.
That's what that pasuk is talking about. That pasuk is talking about, what do you have to do in order to make a living? It says, well, it's not like digging in the ground looking for a silver mine. That's not what we're talking about over here.
Mm-mm.
Here it's talking about, what does a person do to make money?
To what effort do you
do? A person's going to work a whole week just to make money, to be able to support themselves.
Right.
Okay? How much time could you save if you didn't have to do that? A whole ton, right? So... But the idea kesef is related to fear. Gold is related to love, and kesef is related to fear. To teach us what that you really need to put forth a lot of great effort. Like a person looking for a buried treasure. Okay, but where are you going to look for the buried treasure? There is a story that I was told as being a Hasidic maaser. But I also heard this story before I was from, and it involved a Chinese man.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone told me that it's also an African parable and also an Indian parable, Native American.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happens is, guy, in the story, the guy's name is Chaim, like everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay, and Chaim has a dream. That what does he dream? He dreams that there's a buried treasure under the bridge by the king's palace.
Mm.
And so what's he going to do? He's going to go get a shovel in the middle of the night. You can't go digging in it under the bridge by the king's palace. You're going to get killed, shot, right. Arrested, something.
Yeah. Like that.
So he's going to go there at night. And he's going to start digging over there. But, listen, it's a king's palace. They have guards. The big burly guard sees him and says, what are you doing? You can't dig over here. So he said, please, your honor, I had a dream that there was a buried treasure under this bridge.
Mm.
And so the guard started to laugh. And he said, that's ridiculous. Let me tell you a dream I had last night. I had a dream that there was a buried treasure under the living room floor of some guy by the name of Chaim from Podolsk. Mm. Okay, Chaim from Podolsk hears this. And he runs back home,
right.
And he digs up the floorboard, and ta-ta-da-da!
Yeah.
Okay, so why couldn't Chaim from Podolsk have the dream that the guy in the big city had? You have to go all the way over to there, because when we're looking for the treasure, you don't have to go look. You think you might have to go look over there, but you don't have to go looking over there.
Really,
you really just have to look over here.
Yeah.
Okay, because this is where Hashem has it.
Right.
Okay, so when you're talking about Yegiya Atzuma, listen, he still had to dig up the living room. Which if I asked my wife if I could dig up the living room. You didn't have to think about that?
$70 million. We're out of here. We're all happily ever after.
The only problem is if I dig up my living room floor, I'll find my basement.
Yeah.
Oak Park, Michigan. Land of gold.
If I dig up my basement floor. Who knows? Anyway, so it says that's the idea of this digging down deep, because where's the storehouse? The storehouse is deep within inside of us.
Right, correct.
And how are you going to tap into it is out of a sense of reverence and awe and respect for the Almighty. That's where you tap into your Oser. Because by doing so, he's talked about in, I think it's the sixth, the sixth or seventh chapter of Basa Lagani, where it talks about Bizbuz Ha'itzeris, that a king, when faced with losing his throne, will use treasures that have been stored up for generations that haven't seen the light of day in centuries, is what he says.
Mm.
Okay, because he's talking self-preservation. So this now is also self-preservation we're talking about. If the pleasures of the world so totally and completely consume us, then we're lost. We're gone.
Yeah.
So this digging into this oitzer, this storehouse of Yirath Hashem, a fear of Hashem, which comes with Kabbalah Soil, with accepting the yoke of heaven as a very start, and then going, taking it up from there to the level, the higher levels of Yira, that a person would be embarrassed to do anything wrong.
Mm.
A sense of shame.
Mm.
So that then acts as a jumping board, a springboard, to now the person can start working on their love of Hashem. And again, there's no sequential order.
Right.
You can do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that, do a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I'm guessing that's how it has to operate.
Yeah, it has to, because if a person has just fear and no love,
I don't think you can.
I guess at that point they become like a Presbyterian or something, or Episcopalian or something. One of those.
I don't think you can grow either way.
Calvinist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One feeds the other.
Right. That's why it says the lower level of love, the lower level of fierce breeds or begets the lower level of love.
Right.
And then working with the lower level of love begets the next level. So
yeah.
There is that back and forth when a person is still holding at lower levels.
Right.
This level of love that we're talking about, at the onset of this chapter, which he's calling the great love, which is the word which is used by the Anshe Knesset Gedolah in davening, which he calls Ava B'Tainugim, a love to the level of delighting in Hashem. Naifelis La Adame Aleha Milamayla B'li Shichein V'Yikavin La. That comes, it just kind of falls right out of the sky, without any preparation or intention on the part of the recipient at all.
Mm.
That's what a gift is. Someone comes to you and hands you something and says, here, this is yours. Were you planning on it? Did you try to work to get it?
Right.
Someone gives you a gift. As much as you're working, you're trying to work for it, you're not getting a gift. You're working for reward.
Right.
Okay, so that would mean that the love of Hashem that we get on a normal basis would be proportional to how much we're working on ourselves.
Our efforts.
Not Ava B'Tainugim.
No.
That he has other names for that. That's called a schar.
Mm.
That's not a gift.
Right.
Okay, about that, Abraham said, Abraham and both, and Yaakov, both said, maybe I used up all my brownie points.
Right.
You know, I've shown how much I love Hashem, and I did with this, and I got so much payback, I got my schar already, so maybe I used up everything, which that Hashem said, no, not even the principle. You haven't touched the interest, never mind the principle.
Hmm.
Okay, but that's not this at all.
No.
That's quid pro quo. Yes, there is a quid pro quo in Judaism. You take care of Hashem will take care of you. But this is talking about a person who has worked upon himself so much that out of the blue, Hashem says, okay, I'm giving you a bonus.
Mm.
The bonus is totally, completely unexpected. He's not working for the bonus. He can't.
Right.
Okay. A person can't work on themselves. Believe me, you can't. A person cannot eat so much ice cream to achieve the level of Ava B'Tainugim. It is not going to happen.
It won't work that way?
No. A person, you can't come to a client after 120 years and you can say, listen, Hashem, you know how much ice cream I didn't eat and you didn't give me Ava B'Tainugim?
Oh.
No, there's no quid pro quo for Ava B'Tainugim.
Right.
It's that Hashem, the person's working on himself, and if a person's counting how many spoonfuls of ice cream he's not eating, for sure he's not going to have Ava B'Tainugim.
Yeah.
Hashem's going to say, look at this guy. You know, he's so wrapped up in his own self that he's missing the point entirely.
Here, let me give you a couple thousand cartons of ice cream. Go
yeah, yeah. Ach v'rak achashin yisyageya b'riya b'yira haraymimis. But only when a person has acted upon himself with the higher level of fear. Yeah, I was right over here. Here he's talking about fear, love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the way to do it. Like right. I say, in other places it says love, fear, fear, love. Fear, 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 love, love, fear. Yeah. Here it's fear, love, fear, love.
Right.
Okay, someplace else is going to be love, fear, love, fear? Probably.
Probably.
But he's not talking about that over here.
Yeah.
So what's the most important way to do it? Well, since we're doing
whichever one it works for you.
The one we're learning about right now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that when a person has engaged now in such a level that he's on a level of Yira HaRaimamais, V'yagia L'tachlis Mashi Yoichel LaHasig Memenai, and he has worked on himself to the highest level of that which he's been able to achieve on his own. Which means, what you're able to achieve on your own is how much you're able to comprehend. Ava B'Tainugim. We don't understand why we enjoy stuff. That's something which you don't like. If you like something, you put it in your mouth, your brain reacts a certain specific way, all the little synapses go blip, 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 and your brain is telling you, yeah, yay! I like this.
Yeah.
Okay? Where somebody else could put that same thing in their mouth and go, yuck.
Yeah, boo.
Okay, their synapses are not flipping the same way. It doesn't make any sense why people like what they like and what they don't like what they don't like. So you can't work on yourself to like godliness, to find pleasure in godliness. You can work on himself to say, she talks about a great length, the Rebbe Rashad talks about in the beginning of Kuntra Samayan, that a person can train themselves. That getting up in the morning when it's dark outside and going to shul and learning a little bit and davening something and maybe learning afterwards and then having somewhat of a breakfast and before going to work, this is the way you're supposed to do it. This is an enjoyable self. And what's an enjoyable thing? And what do? You talk yourself into it. I understand that this is really the best way to start my day. Okay, but Amos, what do you really want to do? You want to sleep. Listen, it says in the Mishnah that princes sleep until 9.
Right.
I want to sleep until 9 o'clock. Okay? My idea of a vacation, I'll sleep till 9 o'clock, and I'll do whatever I do, and I'll sit down with a bagel and a cup of coffee and sit at my table and I'll have breakfast, you know, with nothing to worry about. Mm. You know, that's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
You know, sitting down and reading the Sunday Times with a bagel and cream cheese and a cup of coffee is not in my schedule any time that I can think of.
I would put cream cheese in my coffee.
Bagel and cream cheese and coffee.
I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't put the Times in the bagel.
Okay, no.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So. So the okay, how much a person is able to comprehend. Okay? And we're talking about Tainug is an expression of the infiniteness of Hashem. Mm. And from the infiniteness of Hashem, you cannot sit down and think about it. Which is why you can't come to this level of Tainug. You could, now, why are we three sitting here? There's only one reason why we're three of us are sitting here right now.
Because I want to.
We liked it. We liked it. This, we like doing this.
Want to.
This is enjoyable.
Right.
Okay? So why, how come we're not getting like, you know, this is, you know, the reason is because we like this as much as we can grasp it. Okay. If I was sitting here and boring you with the same material, you wouldn't be back next time. Okay? But because you're getting it what it is, and it's like, okay, this is entertaining, I'm enjoying myself, I get a nice cup of tea out of the deal, and so yeah, this is pleasurable. But this is not ava b'tainugim. This is an ava, this is a tiny, which is based on the intellectual telling it, yeah, this is something that you should really, mm-hmm. should really like. Okay? So are we converting ourselves? Eh, I don't know. Mm. Better than watching television.
Yeah.
Is anybody?
That was the beginning of the class. And how much does a person understand is really how much Hashem wants him to understand.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, our ability to become, say, the Alter Rebbe said, everybody could be a Beinoni. That's Midas Beinoni who Midas Kolon. That's the beginning of chapter 14. So the Alter Rebbe promises us that anybody could be a Beinoni. Excuse me. But the only people who really get to be Beinonis are the people that Hashem wants to be Beinonis. It's sort of like it's a catch, you know, which is why if a person isn't a Beinoni, he says in chapter 27, don't kick yourself, you're not a Beinoni. You're not a Beinoni because Hashem doesn't want you to be a Beinoni. Hmm. Okay, so even though the Beinoni has the struggle with the whole song, okay, good, no, thank you very much. Okay, you're right, he's got a big struggle because he really likes doing those things wrong, and he's not even thinking about doing them wrong.
Right.
Okay, but never mind the Beinoni. Schoenberg Gordon used to say that the Rush of Vitovlo that's talked about in Tanya, you could put a gartel on and ask him for a bracha. He thought, you know, what does it say over there? A person who everyone, he says, or, there's a rush at the beginning of chapter 11.
Uh-huh.
It says, or he does something wrong. By accident, he's thinking, you know, he slips up a little bit. Or he said something. Or he thought about something, but he wasn't really thinking about doing it. Mm. He was just thinking about it.
Yeah, just thinking.
Okay? Right. So that's the only thing that this guy does wrong. Right. He's not even thinking about doing it. He's right. just thinking about it. And that person we call a rasha.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because that person is engaged in doing the opposite of what Hashem wants. And so this person, it's the only thing the guy does a whole day. Mm. And we're calling him a rasha. Mm. Okay, he's not in this league over here.
Mm-mm.
Okay, because he happened to have really enjoyed thinking about the thing that he wasn't supposed to be thinking about when he was thinking about not thinking about it even.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's we would laud such a person. Okay, so the righteousness of such a person that this is what a person does. The only thing that he ever did wrong in his whole entire life is on occasion he thought about thinking about doing something wrong. Okay? And where's the Alter Rebbe putting him? Nah, fail. Okay, not to get despondent, he says, because why? Who made him like that? Hashem. Okay. So you can't get despondent about the madrega of accomplishment that a person's able to reach because you really can't, as much as those things that are coming out now on I get pop-ups in my computer that say I can improve my IQ, you can't really get smarter. You can't become more righteous than you really basically are. You can work at things a little bit, you know, every once in a while things will pop up. But you can only be as righteous as Hashem wants you to be.
Mm.
And just keep going weiter. Okay, and he says over here, okay, so the level of Avat Tainugim, you're never going to get it. Okay, but he says, don't worry about it. V'azayim emeila bo ha'avat b'tainugim elamayla lishkan lishyachad im ha'yira. Because then what happens now when a person does reach that level, automatically it happens, Hashem says, hey, you get the bonus. You get the love of delight, which is from above, which is now resting and uniting with the fear that he has been working on. Ki darchel she'ish lach sarach ra'isha. But Moshe goes over Lakuti Torah, Lakuti Amarim. Because it says, quoting the Gemara, it's the way, it's Gemara Ksubis, it's the way of a man to go after a woman.
Mm.
Okay? Woman is Ava. Woman is Yira, man is Ava. That first you have to have the Yira, and then you have to have the Ava. That's the way the Alter Rebbe is interpreting that statement.
Mm.
What time we got? I think we're going to stop here at the Hashemis, which is right in the middle of the page. This is now we talk about Ava Rabba, and then the next time we'll talk about the stuff that we can do.
Hmm.
Okay, we spent time talking about the whole lesson we spent on what we can't do. Yeah. It's not an exercise in futility. It's a good thing to know about, because now when we see what we can do, we go, oh, Baruch Hashem, I could do this. To be continued. Cool.